and welcome to episode 88 of Wing Sauce. Nobody wore 88, so it's the spooky Halloween edition. And also the Michigan is still little brother edition. What a game yesterday.
That was a great game.
You know what? You know what I had to deal with yesterday? I had to deal with two Michigan fans telling me that Michigan lost that game. State did not win that. And so I argued with them for hours and hours. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you can't give any credit where credit is due. That's what I can't stand about Michigan fan. And rant.
What I was going to say, though, on your 88 is I feel like the Red Wings are playing some 80s hockey. That's
well,
what I was going to say.
Like, not like Red Wings.
Not the Wings.
80s, but no. Style. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's showing up.
not Dead Wings era.
Yeah, no. You know what I meant, Tyler. Thanks for reiterating that.
But, oh my God, guys. This is an exciting team to watch, and we'll kind of break down a little bit each game, because it's been, what, 2 weeks since the last epi?
Yep.
So, I mean, where do we even start? There's a lot of pluses, a lot of pros to get to, not a lot of cons.
You want to start with some players that have impressed, and maybe we can do both sides. So we can say, like, hey, here's a few that have impressed us more than we thought, and then on the opposite side, like, people that need to step up a bit.
Raymond's impressed me more than I thought. I'll start right there.
Yeah,
I was a naysayer in the fact that he would be playing. He actually shoved that down my throat. He actually is doing very well. The first game I saw him opening night, he looked shaky, but again, first time in the league, I guess that's, you know, kind of expected. But he's kind of settled down. He's looking great. He got a Hattie the other night, right?
Mm-hmm. Four point night.
Mm-hmm. 4 point night. I mean, fuck, dude.
Another looking point great yesterday too, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking against great.
What'd you say, Connor? Oh, sorry.
Didn't he have another point yesterday too against the Leafs?
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, he can point on a day-to-day basis. And what I was thinking when we talked about it, when he kind of made the roster, maybe it was actually before, we were talking about, like, all right, this is where I would want him if he was going to make the team. If not, don't. I mean, we even said it in a group chat, or I've been saying it. Like, guys like that, they have to be on the first line.
First or second
maybe,
line.
Maybe yep. the second line, but the Red Wings' second line isn't good enough to have him. You know what I mean? Like, the.
Yeah. Yeah, our first line is barely a first line.
Right. And like, but right now they're playing like one of the best first lines in the league.
Yep.
If you look at point production,
hot.
And you look at, yeah. And,
they're
and you look at who they're, yeah. Look at who they're playing against too. They're always going against the other top line.
I think Larkin Bertuzzi finally gave him the thumbs up. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So, right. And that's the thing. It's like, all right, you have to have this guy. Bertuzzi and Larkin are clicking, and they needed that. They've needed that third guy that can get points, that can actually score when you give him the puck, and not somebody that keeps on missing. And because they get these opportunities, and they have been, but man, when you have three forwards that are actually good together, you can finally see the output that what should have been happening the last couple of years when you have good talent like Bertuzzi and Larkin, and now you have this guy come in, and now you can see, like, hey, the next couple of years, they can stay together. That'd be fantastic.
And how long has it been since we've had a line that we can actually watch and get excited about when they're out there? What would you say? Since like 2016, maybe? If that? 15?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know when you have a full line.
The last time that Zetterberg was there, I guess.
Well, Zetterberg was there and healthy.
Right, and healthy,
yeah, exactly.
I was going to say. And not like 65 years old, no offense to him. But like at the end of it,
he still looks great.
Yeah.
But
right.
So speaking of that, boys, we're talking about Sider and Raymond. So as of right now, I believe, well, this is what it was a couple nights ago, but they had a stat up for the game. Sider leads all rookies in assists, and Raymond leads all rookies not only in points, but also in goals. So they're looking great.
So real quick, I did put Sider down for the Calder at the beginning of the year. So,
yeah, I mean, and he's I think like probably one, if not the favorite. I mean, Raymond and him are both right there. It's insane.
He's looking so good, man. Like, that's the thing I like about Sider. He's like, watching him play, he's not giving a fuck that he's, what is he, 19? He doesn't give a fuck.
20.
He's
just 20? Turned 20, okay. I believe.
All right, so just turned 20. He's acting like he's been in the league for like 4 years. Like he doesn't care who the fuck you are. He'll check you. That's what I like about it. It's gritty. The whole entire wing seems like, gritty this year. I love it.
Yeah. He plays like he's like a 30-year-old veteran. And one thing, I don't know if you guys heard this, when I believe maybe it was during the Washington game, or when was the last time they were home? Maybe the Calgary game. And I guess they had Lidstrom there, and he was in the studio, and I guess he gave some really high praise to Moritz Seider, saying, "Oh yeah, mm-hmm. when I was younger, I played in the SHL, but I was not nearly as good as this kid."
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, and I know that he's modest, but it's definitely really cool to hear from one of the greatest players to ever play his own position.
I mean, for him, it's weird because he's a rookie, right? And he's one of the few guys on the team. I shouldn't say few, but one of the few defensemen on the team, if not like the only defenseman, that when he has the puck, I feel comfortable with him having the puck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's confidence when he has it.
I mean, he even brings it up the ice, you know.
No, I know. And leading the power play, which is not an easy thing to do, and being the top guy in the umbrella, I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
He's the quarterback.
Of course, and it's awesome because you watch him and he knows what he's doing out there. He knows the plays. He's smart. And like I said, you feel comfortable with him having the puck where, for instance, I never got that feeling when DeKeyser would have it. That's not a knock on DeKeyser, but like, I mean, or
Hronek. Oh my God.
So I don't know. That we
get Dustin going. Guys,
but Seider's looked great. We can leave it at that. He's looked great and he should. I mean, you got lucky. Not even lucky. That's a good pick with him in the collar because he's right.
You know,
with
I did that early on in this. I did that like this summer though. Like, cause remember we were talking about it, and I said I was like, fuck it, run it. I'll pick him up for the collar. Yeah,
why not? It was for a great price too. So.
Oh, stupid odds. I should look back now and see what the odds have changed to, because I guarantee they've changed at this point.
Hey, do you guys know? Has there been another team that like ever have? Because they have to be Raymond and Seider have to be number one and number two, right? For it's super mm-hmm. early, obviously, but for winning the Calder, I would imagine, because even Caulfield's not played very well, if I'm not mistaken. Nope. I mean, I haven't watched too many of his games, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll turn it around.
He'll hit a stride, but it's going to be tough to catch up once you're already so far behind, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, once you get that confidence going, I feel like it's just going to keep on going, right?
Yeah.
And it's helpful. Right. But I mean, to be fair, it's a long season. We're, mm-hmm. what, 8 games in? Yeah. 10 games in? So.
So yeah. A few other guys for me. Obviously, the rookies, I think everybody that's a Red Wings fan can say that they're playing better than how anybody thought they were going to do. So everybody's really excited about that. But some of the guys that I thought had played well. I mean, we touched on the first line. Can't really say enough about Larkin and Bert.
Bert, my boy.
But
I love some of the Larkin, guys. All the Larkin haters are silent.
Hey, real quick. I know. So on that Joseph thing. So I got a shirt that actually says has a picture of him smacking Joseph in the face.
Oh no way!
Yeah, I'll send a picture.
You got to post it.
Yeah,
I will. That's good. That's funny. Made in Detroit. Made it. Surprisingly.
Oh, that's great. Because they're all about grittiness of the city of Detroit and everything. I believe Kid Rock. I don't know if he's still – does he still own Made in Detroit? Because he bought it.
I think they
were made in 1991, or they were established in 1991, and then I think he bought it recently.
It's a good year.
But, yeah, was that when you were born?
Yep. It's a good year.
You are 91. I thought you were 90. Yep.
No.
Old bastard.
91.
Whoa. easy. But no, honestly, guys, the thing that I like about this team the most is, you know, we talked about the skill and how it's crazy that they're good now and they're exciting to watch, but they're going to continue to grow and get better. I love the fight in this team that the Red Wings last year and the year before, if they were down 0-2, they're not coming back. You can flip the channel because there's no way.
0-5 game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. So here's the thing. When they were down 2-0 to Washington, they fought. They didn't give up. They battled back. Same thing with Florida. And even last night's game. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second, too. But even in last night's game for Toronto, I mean, they weren't out of that by any means.
No, that's the thing I was going to say. Like, every game. Yeah, every game you go to, you turn on. It's a good game. Like, that's why I've been excited to watch them play hockey this year. I've been to so many home games. I mean, granted, because I didn't go to hockey last year, but like I'm excited to go to the Red Wings games this year. You know, before,
Dustin,
something
how bonkers was that sequence of the three block shots or six block shots, and then the crazy save. You have to explain to us, like, walk us through what you were thinking. Oh my god, dude, my heart sank when the Kaiser's stick snapped.
I don't think I took a breath that whole entire sequence. Literally, I think I held my breath the whole entire time watching it, just because it's like, most of the time when the Red Wings are down in the zone and that shit happens, it's almost like, it's almost a guarantee, right? Goal. Yeah, guarantee, dude. But oh my god, first off, Adam Ernie, hats off to
and
him.
And Fabry,
but Ernie fucking got a, that first one, I thought that hurt, looked like it hurt real fucking bad.
Oh yeah. that looked like they were like 2 points shy of making it into the playoffs, and they needed that win. They were laying their bodies out.
Dude, I guarantee Yzerman's up there grinning, had a shitty grin on his face. Like,
oh yep, yeah.
That's exactly what we need. Dude, it's just, I'm telling you, man, I've been to so many home games this year. Luckily I got blessed with some tickets for that Florida game for free, so that was nice. But
have you been to every one?
Almost. I think I've missed a couple. Let's see here.
There was Tampa opening night. You were there.
Yep.
Vancouver.
I didn't go to Calgary.
Oh, you didn't go to Calgary. Okay.
So that's the only one I've missed.
But still.
Damn.
So yeah. Okay. That's That's pretty good.
Yeah, Sam, I've been to a lot of hockey games.
Yeah, no kidding. If I get to like two Red Wings games in a year, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Yeah. If I get to one, that's like pretty normal.
Shit, I'm excited, man. I got gondola tickets for Seattle, the Seattle Kraken game. That's going to be cool. I got tickets for the Buffalo game in November. I want to go to the Vegas game. I'm flirting with the Vegas game. I love Vegas. Dude, all right, I'm going off a tangent right here, but did you hear about fucking the Vegas Eichel rumors?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Would be, no. That would. Are you being serious, Tyler?
I swear to God. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Vegas is like, they're like a hot rumor. Like, they might be picking up Eichel because Mark Stone's out. They're flirting with that idea.
What happens to Eichel if he, let's say he gets traded and he's got all this injury stuff going on? Like, is he good to play? Because the last I heard is that he still needs to figure out what type of surgery he's going to get.
Yeah, I think he still needs surgery, but that's the problem. I think if he goes to Vegas, he might be able to get that shorter time frame one.
Yeah, because Buffalo, I think, is being sticklers about this right now. Like, they trust their doctor, and I think Vegas, they'll be like, okay, we just want this guy healthy and putting pucks in the net. So do whatever you want.
Do what you feel as you need to do. You know what I'm saying? As a person, not you know, what's the best interest of the team. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see him in Vegas. I would like that, since they got rid of fucking Flurry for nothing.
And Eichel needs that. I mean, that sucks for him.
Oh, dude, Eichel
really
needs
it. His whole NHL career is like, I mean, he can go, I'd be happy with going to Vegas, because I think that nobody really hates Vegas, right? I think that's, I won't say that's like America's team or anything, but the intro's awesome. Like, it's Vegas. People just go to a game and they're fans of any team, right? And they'll just go to a game because it's in Vegas and they're just there for a vacation or whatever.
Hence me. I'm going next week or 2 weeks from now.
Right. It's just, I mean, but I feel like you're more of a fan than just like a, I feel true. Like any hockey player or any hockey fan that like turns a game on is like, oh, Vegas. Okay, I'll watch. I mean, they're a fun team to watch. Like I said, the intros are unreal. You're in Vegas. It's usually a late night game, so they're on TV. Kind of when people have had a few pops. But Eichel deserves to go to somewhere like that. And people like Eichel and they hate Buffalo.
I feel like Eichel's just got the short end of the stick. The whole entire time he's wanted out of Buffalo, and Buffalo's like, nope. You're not leaving. You're staying right here. And he's like, it's just, I don't know. It's a sad story.
But what if I want to go?
Right. So, yeah, right. Well, and here's another thing, guys. So right now, a lot of people, like even in Buffalo, they're saying like, we don't need Eichel. Like, look at us right now. It's like, okay. But I don't think that's sustainable for this Buffalo team. I could be wrong. They're playing. They're having a great start. 5-1-1 in 7 games. But
let Eichel go.
Yeah, but no, that's literally how, if some of the Buffalo fan base are saying, well, we don't need Eichel. Look at us right now. We haven't had a start like this in a long time. So
but I'd be pissed though if I was a Buffalo fan, and then you have this. I won't call him like a generational player, but I mean, he's unreal. He's one of the best players in the league when he's healthy, and you have
he's
a
not
guy
McDavid, but he's like better.
Oh my
than
god,
Lars.
That stat you posted. You know, was it Tyler or Connor that posted that stat on McDavid?
I sent my own stat where he hasn't had a single point game this season.
That's stupid, dude. Tyler, do you have that stat? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I can bring it up. It was 47 points in his last 18 games, And I believe it was Matthews. Hold on, I'll bring it up. It was Matthews and McKinnon, maybe.
I think it's McKinnon.
Scroll way up. Yeah, Matthews and McKinnon combined for 45 points in their last 18 games. So there are certain people that we just can't acknowledge them as human beings because this is just not normal. He was created in a lab, and that's that. That's the only explanation. He's not a human being. So 47 so he's points pretty, in 18 games. Crazy.
It's easy to say he's pretty much solidified himself in the Hall of Fame, right?
If he just like retired now, will you make
no,
it?
I'm being serious. Like I'm not even kind of joking. He's pretty much one of the best players.
Yes.
Other than
year in and year out. Okay. Yeah. Year in and year out. Barring any injuries, McDavid is the best player in the world. And I know Ryan Whitney said it on Chicklets. He said this is the best player to ever play the game. It's where you get into the generational stuff. I think that's kind of it gets into murky waters, right? Because every game is so much different with each generation. But now, but
if you look at like a hockey player, though, but even looking at like he's not saying. I think he's the best hockey player. So if you look at all of the skills combined, everything, no, and compare him to any other hockey player.
I was going to get to that though. I defend it that he's definitely the best player to play the game right now. There's nobody better than him. There's no one that even comes close. Maybe Crosby in his prime, but even then,
I don't even think so. I don't think it's even right now. I just think it's
McDavid's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the skill. It's crazy to watch.
The speed times five, Tyler.
We're so fortunate to be able to grow up to watch this guy right now.
I wish I was still growing up.
Everybody's growing up.
I'm still waiting to grow up, you know?
That's fair.
What's the old saying? Growing older is mandatory. Growing up is optional.
I mean, you got to think, though. Connor McDavid's only fucking 24 years old.
That's insane.
he's literally everyone's like, oh, he's, if anyone says he's not going to be continuing this trend for another five or six years, like, you get out of here. I'm telling you. I don't see him not doing it. So do you think he's ever going to be, ever get hit any records because his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Connor immediately. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at his point production since he's come in the league, unless like barring something crazy. It's not, this regular isn't like a season, 1 year thing, though. He's doing
goals. He's got 202 assists, 388 points, 590.
In how many games?
Games played, 414.
Yeah. So that's insane.
That's fucking stupid. That's over a point a game. That's over fucking a point a game in the
like
NHL.
Way over a point a game.
Way over a point a game.
Oh my God. That's actually, okay. Hold on.
You have to imagine too, like he started that when he was 18, 19, 20, and he's coming up to be in his prime. And so like he was learning, you know, so like that's only gonna just
1.43 points a game.
So like I bet if you looked at the last three seasons rather than all of them, it's probably even higher than that. I mean, I have no idea. That could just be
he had 100 false, dude. All right. So in 45 games played his rookie season, he had 48 points. His next season, he says, you know what? That's kind of weak. I'll play 82 games. He got 100
injury.
Points.
Big injury. In his 100 points. Season.
That's fine. But 100 points next season. 108. 116. In the shortened season, he had 97.
Games. Yeah.
and then again, the other shortened season with 56 games, he had 105 points.
Yeah. So it's just getting better.
It's not. Like, it's not fair.
No, he's not digressing. So, yeah, stupid. Human cheat code.
He has 16 points right now in 7 games, and it's just going to continue on. This guy's,
like,
it's crazy.
What does it feel like? Honestly, what does it feel like being him?
Probably feels like how I feel.
Wish I knew.
Beer league.
Connor.
little pat on the back.
But you know what I mean, though? It's just like you just wake up and piss excellence.
Yeah.
Connor, oh, yeah. Shit. Here's the deal, Dick. Yeah, no. Honestly, Connor has a rocket of a snapshot. Dustin,
does he?
If you have, oh yeah, he like,
you're
I'm pretty
McDavid
sure
or Lions.
Yeah, Lions. The okay. You know, obviously the better player. McDavid he's got the moves. I'm talking about the shot.
He's got moves like McJagger.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho, we just went off way off, but yeah, McDavid's a fucking G, straight up.
Oh, Dustin, I think that you and we may have brought it up last time, but I can't remember, but we should bring it up now. The only completely undefeated team right now is the Carolina Hurricanes.
Dude, I said it the other day. I said, I fucked up because I don't know what the fuck they were doing in the offseason, but they did something right.
I said the same thing. And you know what? They're making me look stupid because Frederick Anderson.
I got cake all over my face.
Frederick Anderson is looking like he was when he was in Anaheim. When he went to Toronto, I mean, that place can destroy players. And he was kind of the whipping boy along with Jake Gardner and, you know, pick one if everybody you're not else. Matthews and Marners. Yeah. So, but Carolina is looking really good right now. And I don't, who saw this coming from the offseason that they had? Honestly,
I don't think anybody, I don't think anyone I knew was picking them to be this high up or, you know, starting off this hot. So, I mean, to be fair, though, same for Florida, though. Holy shit.
Yeah. So that's another thing I was going to bring up. Remember when Connor wasn't on for this episode, but he submitted his picks to me. And when we were going over the first team to 10 wins and everything, I believe I said Florida, or I at least said they were going to win the Atlantic. I had a feeling about them. They did just get their first loss, albeit an overtime loss, so they're still undefeated in regulation. They just received their first loss of the season to Boston last night, 3-2. So, but it's been really exciting to watch. You know what's really sad, though, guys? They can't fill the BB&T Center, and they're the best team in the damn league.
Yeah, because it's Florida. There's a bunch of retired people. They don't know what the fuck hockey is. But
Tampa speaking of that barn,
it's different. They're not in fucking Sunshine or Sunset or the fuck Florida Panthers are at. But
oh, you mean like Miami, which is a small city.
Yeah, tiny, small. But I don't know. People, I feel like that's not hockey nightlife. No one's gonna be like, ooh, let's go to a hockey game.
I don't know if it's a business aspect or whatever, but you have the best team in the NHL right now, and they still can't pack the stadium. So,
At that point, it's
frustrating to see. You want to pack your barn if your guys already have 17 points on the season.
100%. So, what I was going to say is, which Connor had some frustration with the other night, is fucking this ESPN TNT partnership fucking sucks. I can't watch games. It's terrible. I couldn't even
watch ESPN Plus and Hulu stuff.
Yeah. I couldn't even watch the Wings game last night.
I like everything that they've done, but that is horrible. The ESPN Plus where they black out the local, like on Bally Sports or anything. Like you have to, I'm not paying for another streaming thing. I have
ESPN Plus, Connor, and I couldn't even watch any of the hockey games last night because Hulu was fucked up.
But I could watch it. I wasn't watching it on Hulu. I was watching it on, wasn't it on Bally?
It was on Bally last night, the Wings game.
Yeah, yeah, was it on Bally on your phone or on the app or was it on Bally
I downloaded
on Hulu. On TV. I just watched it on TV.
Well, I don't have – see, we have – I don't know if it's DirecTV or whatever, but we want to leave them so badly. Once we move out of here, we're done with them, breaking up.
I got Hulu Live TV. I don't mind it.
So I've downloaded the Bally Sports app on my TV, and I just watch the games through that using my parents' Xfinity.
See, that's what I had to do because I'm pretty sure I can download that and still use my Hulu login information because I have live TV. But it's just like, first off, I shouldn't have to fucking go through 19 fucking streaming services to watch a fucking hockey game.
Yep, I agree.
Like,
holy shit. So luckily, I was at the game for Connor, so I streamed the first period for him.
Yeah, I was like trying to find a Reddit live stream, and I finally did. So I was able to watch the live stream for a while until until I found one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, though, so those seats that I got, first off, I've never been to the fifth fucking floor in the arena ever. It was in the 200 section, but they were right on the glass, and I didn't think they're that bad. Connor saw them like briefly from the live stream. I didn't think they're terrible seats, though.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because I'm usually
That's nice with these new barns, though. Like, is there a bad seat? They just make everyone perfect.
Pretty much. Like, that's why I feel like they try to make it where you can at least see, like, a good portion of the arena. Maybe if it was packed, you might have, like, a shittier spot up in the top parts, you know? but
even then, I still feel like you're kind of above the ice, and you have a pretty good vantage point, regardless of where you are. Like the Joe wasn't a steep arena, right? It was kind of spread out. It was like a true bowl, right?
Yeah, like if you're in the top, which is where I normally sat, then you couldn't see.
It was tougher, for sure.
It was too far back, so you couldn't see like down on the boards. You would miss like 5 feet on the side that you were sitting in. You know what I mean?
Yep. And
go ahead.
I was just going to say with Little Caesars Arena, obviously, I think that it was built kind of like the old Olympia, where it's a little steeper, and that way you have better seats no matter where you are.
So speaking of arenas, I saw two arenas in California when I went. SoFi, the brand new one. I took that private tour of the stadium.
What an unreal stadium. Holy hell.
Super fucking cool. I don't know if any of you guys saw the pictures, listeners. I think I posted them. I can't remember. If not, I'll repost them. But super fucking nice. It's one of the only indoor-outdoor stadiums. I think it cost some odd billion, like $22 billion or something crazy to construct.
That's it?
It's earthquake-proof, though. It's made nice. Three different layers, so it's earthquake-proof.
We'll see.
But you're right.
we'll find out.
At some point.
I went and saw the Ducks in the
Honda Center.
Yeah, the Ducks and the Jets? Who the fuck did I watch? I can't remember. I think it was the Ducks and the Jets. Yeah, definitely the Ducks, but need to say the Honda Center. So we're talking about arenas, right? The Honda Center is so fucking tiny. Apparently, I went there when I was...
Is it 16,000? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it was... I mean, it was... You could literally walk around the whole entire arena in 3 minutes.
Is it old?
Yeah, it's old. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like they don't spend that much time on any of the concourse, so it's like basically your seats and that's it.
Yeah,
and it's somewhat small too. Yep. It's kind of similar to the Joe.
I mean, the actual arena is nice. Like they have like nice tiled floors and everything, but like it's tiny. It's a lot different going from a large rink like T-Mobile or Little Caesars, and then going into that when you're like, holy shit, what is this? An arena for babies for ants?
It was. It opened on, the date doesn't matter, but in 1993, and it looks like for hockey, the capacity is 17,174. So I think Winnipeg has the smallest barn, which is, I believe that the Bell MTS Center is, I think it's 16,000 something. But so needless to say, it's a little bit bigger than one of the smallest arenas in the NHL.
Yeah.
So was it a good game? I didn't see what happened.
Yeah, it was a good game. Anaheim ended up winning, I think. Honestly, I can't remember. It was the night before I flew out. I didn't sleep that night. Well, no. The nice part was I was driving a Tesla, so it was cool. Like, I didn't have to do much driving, so it was nice.
Oh, there you go. Elon.
Right? A lot of fun out there in California. Oh, one more thing. SoFi Stadium, it's not an arena. Has two three-story suites.
What?
And they're, yeah, it's stupid. I
gotta
check them out.
That's where you were.
No, I wish. No, I was up in the fucking top part.
You did have a press conference.
Yeah, I did take a picture in the suite though, and I was gonna post on game day, like up here in my seats, just to fuck with everybody.
You should have put like some headphones on, like you were an offensive like coordinator or something.
Well, I gotta go sit on the bench, so I should have been like, "Do you guys have some headsets I can wear down here?"
That would have been sweet, but man, that was a pretty cool game. I mean, I knew that the Lions were not going to win that; there was zero chance. But they made it exciting,
dude. Oh my god, that we'll talk
trick plays.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. The onside kick, like Dan Campbell, dude, like hats off to you, man. Like, I'm not usually a football fan. I don't really watch much football, but holy shit, that game was exciting. The whole entire time I was invested. It was great.
Bad teams should be doing that every single week. I don't understand why they're not.
Thank you, Connor. What do you have to lose? You're going to lose?
Yeah. Like, you're going to lose.
You know what? I want to go 0-17. I want to break our old record.
I mean, I don't give a fuck about going 0-17 if you are doing shit like that.
I do.
I don't care. I mean, dude,
I want them to go 0-17.
Dude,
the Eagles this week though, so we'll see. I mean, it's going to be released tomorrow, but so I won't have any predictions, so I can't be wrong. But
Eagles by 70.
Eagles by 70.
Eagles terrible.
They were giving away tickets to that game. Literally, I saw
at Ford Field?
Yeah, it was fucking like it was like four tickets, two pizzas, four drinks, popcorn. for like $30 a ticket.
He's like, and we pay you $30 a ticket.
Yeah, right. We actually give you $30 for the tour.
I'm just, oh man, shoot me over your Venmo. I'm going to pay you to go to this game.
Right? It's like, we're that bad.
They just want butts in the seats. But yeah, I think, you know what? The people that are getting on Dan Campbell, and like, who do they have, really? Just give them a break.
They've been fucked over with that golf trade.
They've been in every single game aside from the Cincinnati game. They've been in it within 3 points to 5 points. They've been in every single game, and they don't have anybody. They have their offensive line, three guys are hurt. They don't have anybody. So, yeah,
and they should. I mean, if you're hurt right now, it's the same thing. It's just so annoying to talk about Lions because you always say, like, okay, rest up for next season, even though next season is going to be the exact same thing like it has been for the past 50 years.
Rebuilding since 57.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like, I don't know. You got a first round. Well, who do they get? They got a first round draft
Penei
pick.
Sewell?
And the next first round draft pick. No, for the Rams, I mean, and a third, I want to say. So they got two first rounders and a third, and then they're going to get hopefully first overall this year. I don't know.
We still got steamrolled.
Yeah. In the trade?
Yeah, fucking goddamn. I'm just joking. But
oh,
like,
I was going to say, really? I was.
Oh, no. Good. But damn, Stafford's just
Connor's like, I'm literally just building it out how we are not doing too bad with it.
I know, like, I'm making I want to hear your argument.
No. But, I'm saying Stafford's just killing it in LA right now. It was funny the whole entire time we're in LA. I was wearing a fucking Stafford Lions jersey. Like, oh, thank you so much for Stafford. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right. There was a sign that somebody had at the game that said, can you imagine how good Detroit would be if they had a guy like this, and it was a picture of Stafford. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I was dying. I'm like, that's hilarious. It's either they're like doing that to be hilarious or they're just stupid.
Definitely to be hilarious.
I actually kind of hope maybe it was the latter, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard to question it.
I did want to talk. You guys want to talk Red Wings?
I mean, I guess so. We are a hockey podcast.
I just wanted to see who
are we.
I have my own opinion on this, but do you think anybody is falling a little bit short of maybe they need to like step up their production a little bit?
Yes,
I have two players. I have two players in mind, and I'm curious to see who
Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi. They're trash, yeah, totally. Dude. No, totally. Don't choke it.
Trade them. Get rid of them.
You know what, dude? I think we should get rid of Dylan Larkin.
The C off of Larkin.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Get the C off of them. You know what? Yeah. You know who we should give it to? Tyler Bertuzzi. Just give it to Tyler Bertuzzi, and we're going to get rid of Larkin. Just going to trade him away for, you know, a dumpster and maybe a large pizza.
Give the seat to Nedeljkovic from the way he was playing the other night.
No shit.
Good Lord.
No, seriously.
So Connor, you said you wanted to name off a couple people you wanted to see more production from, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't even think they're playing horrible, but in my mind, I think Fabry's got to step it up a little bit. I agree. He's making a couple dumb plays, and he hasn't had the production on the offensive side.
He's trying to. I don't know
what he's doing.
No, this year, Connor, I think you and I are probably going to agree on this, where he's taking more chances, but they're not like
chances.
His hockey IQ should know better than to take some of these chances that he's taking, and he ends up
failing on a lot of them. Yeah, and like if they work, they're not chances that generate like a scoring chance. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's a chance that now we got in the offensive zone. It's really weird. I don't know. And he's had some opportunities. He's not burying. But I'll say this: he's not playing horrible. It's just another. It's a guy that it's like, hey, you have the opportunities there. It'd be nice if you can, you know, step up a little bit there. Yep. The other guy for me is Rasmussen.
Absolutely.
He has had so many chances. It is actually unbelievable. You got to find a way. I mean, at some point, right, you're never going to score every single one, but you got to score. Well, you got to score one of them. I mean, you got to get something.
I think that Steve Yzerman should think to move on from him if he doesn't catch some sort of stride this year. He was a ninth overall pick in 2017. He's a big body. He's just not panning out to what we were sold that he was going to be. Right.
And he's not even like playing. That's why it's hard. He's not playing. I mean, he's not playing good, but he's not playing
up to his potential though. That's
but he's just not playing up to his potential. And at some point, You know, it's you have a good. I really think Nemestikov and Gagne, who he's been playing with,
they
a
look
lot.
Great.
Specifically Nemestikov, he's had a really good season so far.
So happy for that talk that he had yesterday.
Yeah, because he's been deserving that. He's had a few assists and everything. And
empty netters.
The empty net goal. And he could have had another one too, but he passed it off. Good guy, Nemestikov.
Yep. Team guy.
But anyway, back to Rasmussen. He's had a lot of chance. He's a skilled guy. He's huge. I don't think he's overly skilled, but I don't know. That's really all I got to say about that. Those are the two guys that if they picked it up and they had, if Fabry could cut down on the stupid plays and maybe bury a couple, if Rasmussen could just, you're on a decent line. You're getting the opportunities now. Gagne, Nemestikov is very skilled. You're with a guy that could set you up, and you just got to bury.
And I'll go as far as to say that we need to see a little bit more from Zadina too. And I know he has 5 points on the season so far, but he looked good last night. He looked quick. He looked confident with the puck going into the corner, shoulder down, instead of swinging at the puck and getting leveled. But yeah, I thought he looked good. Guys, if Joe Valeno can play like he did last night, I will completely change my tune on him. Because I said at the beginning of the season, if he this is kind of a make or break season, I feel for him. If he's given a chance up in the NHL, it's high stress for him because he has to perform night in and night out. I feel like he could be on the line because he's too. He was a 30th overall pick in 2018, I believe. Same year as Zadina. So he was a 30th overall pick, and that's going to take some time in the minors. But he's not a career AHLer. He's another guy who, you know, hasn't been really playing up to his potential. But from what I saw last night, hey, he can convince me all day that he'll be a third line guy.
Did you see how he got to the
second line? Sorry?
Did you see how he got to the game? Either
no.
Of you? Oh,
Uber?
He drove. Yeah, technically, kind of, except his Uber was Iserman. Iserman and him drove to the game in Toronto. Yeah.
From, you know what that was? It was Iserman was can you imagine how intimidating that ride would be the whole way?
Right.
Just be like, yeah. Hey, so you know, you're not doing terrible in Grand Rapids. You really have to perform tonight or else. So,
yeah. So I mean, that's kind of cool. I guess they were just talking random stuff, little hockey, listening to the
old stories,
Michigan State game, and then he slept for a little bit. That was the consensus and what I saw on Twitter.
And they smoked
from, like,
a big J.
Yeah, Stevie Bong Rips.
Stevie Bong Rips.
This nasty calls him.
So, I think. What was it? One of the first games of the season or whatever, someone took a picture of Iserman kind of like I think
that was preseason.
Was it? Because
was it? I think it was in Traverse City.
Yeah, yeah. So people had like, they were photoshopping joints and bongs in his hand and stuff like that. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Another guy. Sorry, we kind of got a little bit off track for that. So another guy that I'd really like to see, and he's been getting a lot of chances too, and I think he still looks good, but he needs to show more on the score sheet, Pius Suter. He's getting a lot of chances. He's getting a lot of looks, and good for him that he finally got his first goal. I feel like the monkey may be off the back now. But
he can score.
Oh, yeah. We know about it. We know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know full and well when he was on Chicago, which, by the way, hot garbage. They're the worst team. You know what? I'll go as far as to say that, you know, the Coyotes, they were supposed to be bad. We know that. The Hawks, what in the world are we witnessing, guys?
It's actually really fun to watch. We're witnessing we're calling that a dynasty, right? Like, I think that's so
three,
like, we're witnessing
three cups
that.
In 6 years, 3-6.
Yeah. So it's really fun being from Detroit and then watching what we had to go through. Everybody that has this dynasty is going to have to go through it, but you're just watching it slowly crumble, and they're not in good shape, especially with some of the trades with who they got Seth Jones, right? And they had to give up quite a bit for that. And they're paying a lot of money to a lot of the players on the ice. They don't really have a good next step. And that's why this isn't why they're clearing house, but they've cleared house up at the executive level. And they got to do some big turnarounds there, talking strictly hockey.
So they're in some hot water here, because not only is their season in a tailspin, but just the stuff off the ice too.
Chicago.
I mean, yeah. So it's just a huge, it's a dumpster fire, any way you look at it. I mean, Buffalo and Ottawa a couple of years ago, you know, with a little bit of the off ice stuff, you know, with Hoffman, whatever you want to say, this just takes the cake. This has got to be one of the biggest things in hockey. What would you say, in the last decade? Easily, 20 years maybe.
I can't think of anything bigger. So I'll just say,
yeah.
Yes, because I don't even know any. I'm sure there was something big, but this is.
And you know what? You know, as I always like to say, let's wait until, you know, the trial goes through, all the facts come out and everything. But I'll say it doesn't look good to have Stan Bowman step down, to have instead of being fired.
I was going to bring up
Quenneville too.
Oh yeah, but I don't even know. It looks horrible, but I don't even know if we have to wait for that. Like, a lot of the facts have come out. Nobody is really disputing it at this point besides Quenneville.
Are they going to take it to trial right now, or what's I guess I haven't read too much into it on like the legal aspect of it, but
the guy that he's either in jail or already went to jail for 9 months. Like, that part's been confirmed. And I think it's the Wirtz family. I want to say it's right. They own the Blackhawks, if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. I don't know, but
No, you're right.
So they opened up an independent, like, third party investigation to go over this. They had the report, and that's what people are reading. And so those are the facts. Like, the facts came out and nobody's really disputing them. The only thing that they're disputing is whether, like, Quenneville is saying, like, hey, I didn't know about this before. And they're saying, yes, you did. So, like, that part I'm not going to really speculate on, because I don't know. But the other stuff, I mean, it just happened and people knew about it and didn't do anything. So I feel
sickening.
I didn't even have to. I feel like you're very, you very well can say whatever you want at this point. It's not even.
I know.
Allegedly.
Where I was going with that, Connor, though, is that I don't like the fact that everyone is painting. They're painting this with a very broad brush, with saying that the whole team knew about it. It's like, okay, there may have been some people that are on the team currently who may have known about it, but I wouldn't throw everybody under the bus right now without knowing. But just cause it's just not fair, but regardless, anybody who was a part of that, I throw the book at them, cause that's disgusting. And, you know, you saw what happened with like the Larry Nassar thing and some of the cover up stuff with that. It's disgusting. It has no place in, not even just in sports, just in the world. It's abhorrent. So, but yeah, Hawks, hot garbage with everything that's going on, from off ice to on ice.
I'm sure Fleury wished he retired.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, everyone's like, oh yeah, we're making a push for the cup. And you know what? I bought into it too. But who does he have in front of him? Nobody. Eh.
He's got some decent defense. No, sorry.
No, because that was my point. He doesn't have a lot of support in front of him.
Didn't they pick up Seth Jones in the offseason?
He's not much of a defensive defenseman, though. He's more offense.
And he isn't doing it. So if anything, he's probably just making it worse.
Yeah. Right. And Duncan Keith, I think they're really realizing now, Chicago was kind of, they thought that Keith was expiring, and you know, yeah, he's a little bit older, but he was a good offense. He was a good hybrid of offense and a shutdown D-man too. They are missing him like crazy right now. And he is just, he's got to be so happy being near his hometown, right? Is he from British Columbia?
I have no idea.
Or I don't know. Either way, he's in Edmonton. He's closer to his hometown. I think he wanted to play his last couple of years and retire closer to home. And I mean, why wouldn't you want to play with two of the best players in the world? They're not built for the cup, but it's still going to be exciting to watch. They have a 60-year-old in net and Mike Smith, but whatever.
60-year-old?
I mean, he's that's just – I'll tell you, that's a Ken Holland team, though. They do. The guy is you know, it's just
fucking funny.
He's going to break his hip, and they're going to put him in the local senior home.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So but yeah, if Ken Holland if he doesn't, I would say, guys, in the next 5 years, if they don't make a playoff run, do you think he's done? You have two of the best players in the world, and it's your job to surround them with the support that they need and the defense that they need. If they don't make a run within the next, do you think 5 years is too long of a leash?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell with like GMs, like how they, I don't even know. Like, cause like, what is the ownership? I guess like I feel like the ownership, if they're making money and like actually a decent team, do they actually give a fuck about winning cups? I mean,
I think it's going to come down to the team that's on the ice at that point. So like in 5 years, they could have a good team. And if they're not producing, I think it's going to be coach first, which it always is. It's always coach first, I feel like, but
yeah, that's true.
If there's not a good team and then they don't have line of sight for the following couple years with draft picks and how much money they have to spend, then sure, I can see him being gone easily.
Yeah, I guess it's all going to be situational, because if do they have Dave Tippett as their coach? Who's the coach over there? I think it's, if memory serves, it's Dave Tippett. Hope I'm not wrong. I'm just going to stick with it. Yeah, so Tippett is a, you know, he's a good coach. We'll see what he does with this group. But Holland was the one who made the hire. So sometimes, only sometimes, will the owner fire both the GM and the coach at the same time and start with a clean slate.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And that's why I think it depends on the team on the ice and then what they have going for them.
Right.
With draft pick, like how well they are set up. Like, did the GM do a good job or are they screwing them over?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
but I would say, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to start to wrap things up, because we're going on almost 50 minutes.
Wrapping things up. I don't want to wrap things up.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I was going to start wrapping things up too.
I was going to start talking to you guys. I had a sweet story to tell you.
Oh, go ahead.
Better be a good story.
I don't have a sweet story. I'm just fucking with you. I have nothing. I literally have nothing. I was just busting your balls.
Wow.
I'll say this: Red Wings got to win one of the next two games.
Yep.
Because you got Boston in what, not next game, they have the Canadians, and then they have Boston. So I think you got to win against Montreal, because Boston's going to be tough. I'll leave on that.
Yep. And this is one thing I did want to bring up to you guys. So at the beginning of the season, I believe the over under for total points for the Wings was 76
or something like that.
Yeah, and I can pull up my bet. The over is looking real good right now.
I took the under. I fucked myself. Because I'm with Tyler.
It's a long season.
It is a long season, but they're looking hot right now. If they stay in this current trend,
it's you versus Hugh, because Hugh put a couple hundred on it. He was like, oh yeah, they're definitely getting over 76, and he's like, it's looking good right now.
There you go.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
We will see.
Captain? Yep. I got.
Thank his captain. Oh yeah, that would be just the best karma. I can't wait. I hope they get 100 points.
Under 79 and a half.
Someone's got to lead this young team. Glad they have the right people in the leadership position.
All right. Anything else, boys?
On that note?
No. Nope.
All right. Let's get the puck out of here, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.